gospel today comes from the first gospel, the gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. You can read along with me as I read aloud on page 783 of your pew Bibles. Listen and hear the word of God written. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Amen. You might have heard of the Neiman Marcus catalog for gifts that comes out every year about strange and extravagant gifts that you can buy if you have all the money in the world. Another list, which is perhaps even more extravagant and more impressive, is called the Reed Report. I don't know if you've heard this, but for the last 20-some years, they have been giving out the most outrageous Christmas gifts you can imagine for those that would like to spend a lot of money. One of them, and there's several of them, 41 this year, I'll just tell you about three. One of them that caught my attention was a train set. Now, a Christmas train set, that sounds pretty standard, not this one. This one that costs $7 million. It covers 1,200 square feet. It has 32 cars. It has four train lines and a layout that covers the entire continent of the United States from coast to coast. And also, my particular favorite is that they have four large screen TVs so you can watch from the train's perspective as they go through the layout. A bargain at $7 million if you want to get that. If you're looking for something a little more, you can get the very first on your block, in fact, the first one in the world to have your own private Zeppelin. Yes, a Zeppelin that you can fly around, and don't worry, pilot training is included in the price of $17 million. You can buy a Zeppelin and go tooling around, has a range of 500 miles and seating capacity of 12. You're not looking for a Zeppelin, maybe you don't want to fly through the air. Well, how about sailing through the sea? Yes, you can buy a yacht, and you say, well, yachts are kind of common. People have yachts. But this one is a 328-foot yacht. Now, this yacht has, yes, a swimming pool, but also a fitness center around it. And the swimming pool itself has a waterfall on the yacht. It has two VIP suites, a 12-seat movie theater within it, and also has two boats inside of the yacht itself, a steal at just $300 million. Now you may say, well, this is just ridiculous. Those gifts are just put up there for publicity. But I'm telling you that the value of gifts and the understanding that the best gifts are the ones that are the most extravagant and the ones that cost the most is still out there, even in this economy. And to come against this is the understanding of what giving and what is valued in the world. It is totally against and opposite what is valued in Jesus Christ and what is looked for and valued in Jesus Christ. We have lots of quotes this week, and I'm cheating by looking here. One of them is the interplay between Scrooge and Fred. Now this time we're looking at the Ghost of Christmas Present, about the time where Scrooge is taken along around in the book A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and see what he is missing in the presents, what's going on that he is missing out of. But before all this, at the beginning of the book, if you will, the prologue to the visits of the spirit, his nephew Fred comes, and we find out that his adult nephew Fred has come every year to invite Scrooge to the family Christmas dinner. And every year Scrooge is rude to him, tells him to go away, tells him there's nothing. And this year he tells Fred that there is no profit in Christmas. And Fred comes back with a long answer. No profit in Christmas. It is the one time of the year when people, men and women, decide to cast open their hearts and pretend and to act like they were fellow travelers with all the other people on earth. It is a time for love and for relationship and for reaching out to others, and I believe that is a greatest value even of Christmas, even though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket. I would say bless Christmas. Fred the nephew says the value of Christmas is not the profit in it, not how much money it gets, not how much it costs, but what it does to relationships with people. He says that in the whole community of people, people reach out and help one another. People open their hearts to one another. People connect with one another. And Fred does more than just say that. He lives it. Who could have a harder job than to try to connect with someone like Scrooge, someone that says, bah, humbug, to the whole idea of Christmas and like nothing. Yet Fred goes in good cheer and a good heart every year and invites his Uncle Scrooge to come and to join them at the Christmas dinner. Fred values relationships. He doesn't have enough money. As Scrooge says, you're poor enough. Why are you happy? To which Fred says, you're rich enough. Why are you miserable? Scrooge doesn't have an answer to that. Fred moves on and wishes a Merry Christmas to Scrooge, if you can imagine, a more wasted wish. But with good intentions, he does that and moves on. Fred and the Ghost of Christmas Past come and take Scrooge, not only to Fred's house where he sees what he's missing, but he also goes to Bob Cratchit's house. Now, Bob Cratchit is the employee of Scrooge. If there is ever more miserably of a position than being an employee of Scrooge, pre-Christmas Carol, I don't know what it is. And he does get the day off, and he's with them, and one of the scenes is that Bob Cratchit actually prays a blessing for Scrooge as the author of the feast over the objection of his wife, who thought he could offer a little bit longer and bigger feast. But he does bless it. And in this time, there's one time in the whole book where church is mentioned in any significant amount. And when Mrs. Cratchit asks Bob, how did Tiny Tim behave in church? And strangely, it is a time when gold is mentioned at this poor house. For Bob Cratchit says about Tiny Tim's behavior, he was as good as gold. You know, he gets off by himself sometimes and thinks deep thoughts because he is lame, he's crippled, he's up by himself and sitting a lot. He thinks deep thoughts. And I caught him thinking this time on the way to church, way back from church, and that's the picture on our bulletin, they're coming back from church. And I said, what are you thinking about, Tiny Tim? And Tim says, I was hoping that the people saw me in church. And I was thinking it might be pleasant for them to see a crippled boy and remember Jesus Christ, who came to heal the crippled and to make well the sick. Tiny Tim was not looking at what benefit Christmas came to him, about what gold it put in his pocket. Instead, Tiny Tim was thinking not only of the relationship that he had with the church people, but through that relationship with the church people, how it reflected and deepened their relationship with Jesus Christ. Tiny Tim shows us in the Christmas Carol the valuing of relationships over the valuing of what actually happens in terms of getting gifts or getting money or getting everything else we want.
Did you catch our verse 19 of our scripture today? It's kind of glossed over. The whole teaching of the church on divorce that I've seen in my ministry has just been sort of put away, tucked away, and put up on the shelf. But here it even comes into our Christmas story. Joseph and Mary, and especially just Joseph today. Joseph, it says in our scripture today, dismissed. Some other translations say, call off the wedding. Some others say, put her away quietly. But some translations say divorce. Joseph resolved to divorce her quietly. Back then, the betrothal was a little more legal, a little more standard than an engagement. And so perhaps divorce is a good way. Joseph is so serious, his breach. Joseph could have called down and publicly denounced her and had her stoned to death. Now, I've talked to some divorce people, and on certain days, they almost prefer the quick stoning over the slow pain of divorce that goes on and on. But here we have, in the very Christmas story, the ultimate break in relationship between two people, a divorce. And it's the ultimate, I say, because people tell us that study this, that divorce is the most stressful on any person, more stressful than death. And so here in the Christmas story sneaks in divorce. Here in the Christmas story, all about relationship of us to one another and us to God is divorce. And what happens to divorce? In this breaking of relationship, where Joseph thinks that the best thing, the best reaction to the coming of Jesus Christ is to sever a relationship with Mary, to cut off and to go alone, and he thought that was a good thing to do. The angel says, no, do not you. Maybe that's what Scrooge needed here as well. Maybe that's what we need to hear. Maybe that's what everyone needs to hear this Christmas. Do not fear relationships. Even though the other person is not right, even if a person is broken, even if the other person is not morally correct, even if the other person has got things done, do not cut off. Be in relationship. Fred did that. Scrooge did all he could to cut off the relationship with his nephew. Scrooge did all he did to push him away, but Fred wouldn't do it. Fred kept coming back because he heard the message of the angel. Do not fear to be in relationship. Tiny Tim, who could have easily, if he was written that way, turned away from so-called healthy people, turned away from those that were walking around and wished them ill instead of better, went in relationship with them and said, I hope that I can help them in their walk and their faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. Do not fear the relationship of others. Christmas story is about valuing relationships, not valuing gifts and things that we can get and touch and exchange. It is when God gives us the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. When God gives to us, when we have divorced ourselves from God, when we have said no to God, when we have said bah humbug to God's invitation to the party, when we, by our sin and by our wandering away from God's will, have said, no, we're not coming, don't even bother us anymore, God comes himself as Jesus Christ. And the angel says, you think this is the end of relationship. I'm telling you, if you do not believe that this is the beginning of a relationship, of a reconciliation with the entire world, this baby, rather than coming between you two and breaking you two up, this baby will join all of humanity with God. What a change an angel's message, a do not fear relationship makes. You know, we throw around love a lot around. We talk about a lot about what love this, love that, and it's hard to say what love means. But it's instructive to look at other languages to see what they mean by love. And one of the Jewish people believe that not only is Hebrew the first language, it is the language of God. That God, when God spoke creation into existence, God was speaking Hebrew. For them, Hebrew, the language and written in the Old Testament, is a holy language. And if you look at the word Hebrew, the word love in the Hebrew, you will find that it is made up of a root of two letters and a modifier. Now you take that root of those two letters out of the word, and you look at it, it is the word give. Give. The modifier that you put in front of it to make it love, aleph, goes on in front of hey and bet, and bet. You put those all together, the modifier is I. So the word love in Hebrew is actually the two words, I give. When we give ourselves, when we give what is really ourselves to another person, we are loving them. Love is not about the amount of gifts we give. Love is not about how much things cost. Love is not about the gold in our pocket. Love is about what we give of ourselves to others. And that's relationship. This Christmas, you may not have a lot of money. In fact, you may be worried about how much money you have. And I encourage you to look into yourself and figure out how to give yourself to other people in love. How can I give myself? How can I wrap up myself and give myself to others in relationship? If there is a relationship that is divorced, a relationship that is broken, a relationship, if there is a Scrooge in your life, and every family has at least one, let's say two, so even if you're one, there's still someone else. Every family has at least two. You can reach out to them in relationship and invite them into the relationship. Because as Fred knew, as Titan knew, as Joseph was told by the angels, God is in relationship. And Christmas is about God bringing us back into His love. God's word, His personal name is I Am. Yahweh, I Am. That's God. And look at what love is. I give. So God's love is I Am, I give. That's God and God's love. Be God as God this Christmas. And give yourself in relationship to others. That way you will go from humbug to hallelujah. Amen.